Tango Tango Papa 1828, March 16, 2014.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from a place called Frontenac, Kansas. I've been kind of here and there, and still doing the video, so if you want the blow-by-blow description, look me up on YouTube. I've been posting most of the videos, the embedded version, on my website, TruckerTomPodcast.com. So those are there, and, if you want the blow-by-blow descriptions of where I'm going and kind of coming and going, then find it there. So anyway, the load that I'm on right now went over the weekend, and it actually came right by my house. And I had a little bit extra time, so I got stopped at my house yesterday afternoon. I guess it was about 5:30 whenever I got home. And so ended up leaving there, I don't know, it was probably about 1:30, 2 o'clock this afternoon. I would have waited until later because it's only like 128 miles up here to Frontenac, Kansas. Frontenac is just north of Pittsburgh, Kansas, and that's very close to Joplin, Missouri. So this is kind of in extreme southeastern Kansas. So anyway, it's only 128 miles from home, from where I live in northwest Arkansas. So I could have waited until later, and then just drove, maybe got here about right now. It's 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock Central Time right now. I could have waited and gotten here. I've been here a little while. But it was snowing pretty heavily. It rained. It was raining very heavily. It started last night, and I think it kind of continued all night because there was some flooding, as far as the little river that goes through West Fork was kind of coming out of its banks. I don't know, is that thing going to shut off? Okay, the little river was kind of coming out of its banks there at West Fork next to the park, and kind of threatening to, because it can, it'll kind of partially flood the park. It does it once in a while. But it was kind of up, and I noticed some other water, streams and what have you were up as well as I, But anyway, it rained quite a bit, and then it converted to snow this early, I don't know, it was about, it was right around noon or a little bit before. It converted to snow, and it was kind of coming down pretty heavy, but it wasn't sticking really. And then, of course, the temperature was above freezing at that point. And then the temperature did drop very slowly. And so it was kind of sticking in grassy areas and on rooftops and so on and so forth. And I really didn't know what it was. I know it was supposed to get down to about 20 degrees. But as it turned out, the snow kind of, the precipitation sort of cleared out and allowed things to kind of dry off pretty much, I think, before the temperature actually started dropping, because it's supposed to be like 20 degrees this evening. It's supposed to get down to, around 20 or something like that. And then tomorrow back up in the 40s, and then 40s and 50s, I guess, for the rest of the week. So, anyway, I left a little bit early and stopped in Joplin and got something to eat, and then came on up here, and so, you know, I would have probably maybe waited about 3.5 more hours or so before I left, but otherwise I just went ahead and left, and so I'm here, and see what happens tomorrow. Because I've been gone now. I've been out for about 15 days, and so got about 6 more days. It would be 3 weeks. So probably we'll go home at the, you know, I don't know, 22nd, 23rd. I'm thinking I go home and take the regular time off, and then come back to work afterwards. But it's I don't think, you know, the weather-wise, it's not really going to be warm. It's, you know, it's 40s, 50s, and I kind of expect that that is going to continue probably into April. And who knows, it could continue right into May. I've seen one time, I remember, it was early June, and it was 45 degrees one day, and everybody was griping, "Oh, it's too cold." Well, it's the weather. It does what it wants to. so, but anyway, you know, I'll just, you know, you can't, the weather, you just, you know, it is what it is, and you just kind of take it, and there, you know, of course, the politicians, the whole global warming thing is an attempt to kind of politicize it, you know, because it's not something you can really change. And so, of course, people, the idea of politicizing it is, oh, it's bad and it's getting worse and so on and so forth. And it's just weather. And it's the very nature of weather is chaos. You know, it really is kind of very chaotic. It's not sort of cut and dried like some people would have you believe. It's rather chaotic, and so they're trying to take, you know, kind of dumbed down, morally reprehensible people. Because what you have to remember, the more morally reprehensible you are, and let's just not mince words, we're human beings, and we're most of us we're morally reprehensible, and so therefore, the more morally reprehensible you are, the more suggestible you become. The farther you are away from this mysterious thing. This mysterious element, of a natural way of knowing the difference between right and wrong, and it can't be defined, by the way, the farther you are away from it, the more suggestible you are. You know, so there's the idea, well, who sets the gold standard? You know, you want a gold standard for whatever, gold standard for currency, gold standard in this case for morality, gold standard for behavior. Who sets those gold standards? You know, and so that's really at the crux of the argument. You know, how do you define that? And it can't be defined. The Creator sets it, and you either have a good heart, and you want to do the right thing, genuinely want to do the right thing for the right reason, or you don't. And if you don't, then by definition, you have no internal constraints, and so therefore, by definition, the dictator will set your rules for you, whether you're an individual or you're a society. And so therefore you're just doomed to the whims of the dictator. Whether you're an individual or you're a society. And so we've lost our morals as a society and as a world, but it's certainly in the United States, we've lost, the morals are gone, long gone, happened a long time ago. We're just now seeing the real effects of it. You know, of all those so-called latchkey kids and so on and so forth. And you know, and then this argument that, oh, well, the kids are better off if the parents don't love each other. They should get a divorce. The kids are better off. Well, no, they're not. Because they were making these arguments. The divorce rate was sky high back in the 70s. In the 80s. And that's when they were making these arguments. Who voted? Who's voting away our rights? Who thinks that somehow the government is a magic tooth fairy and it's the answer to all problems? Who responds to the greatest pressure? So when people were making these stupid arguments back in the 70s and the 80s and sort of assuaging their guilt for you know, all the illicit sex and broken marriages and broken homes and so on and so forth, they were destroying their own future. They were destroying not only the future of their children, but they were actually destroying their own future. You know, and now a lot of those same people are, you know, they're it's not, oh, it's not my fault. They're blaming, you know, blame other people, blame the current people, blame the current parents. They're the ones that did it. You know, or blame the people that are, you know, kind of doing this or doing that. It's their problem. I didn't do it. I don't deserve any of it. I don't deserve any of the blame. I'm not gonna. I don't have to look at myself. You know, and then the other thing people have, there's this idea, well, It's all their problem and so on and so forth. They did it. It's all out of control. So therefore, I'm not gonna bother looking at myself. I'm not gonna bother thinking about what's right and wrong. I just want to live my life and have my entertainment and eat my food and sex myself to death and pleasure myself to death and I'll be dead before all this really goes haywire, and so on and so forth. And, you know, I hear that there's that kind of reasoning. The truth is that we're here to, if you're so inclined, if you're blessed to be so inclined to ask these questions, if you're blessed to be so inclined to really want to know the truth, even if the truth is painful, then these things should be causing you, if nothing else, they should cause you to examine yourself, to examine your own motivations, etc., etc. So soon, you know, we've already got dictators, and the dictators are just, it's a bottomless pit. People have a myriad of dictators, you know, it could be the wife is the dictator. And a lot of wives don't even really want to be the dictator, but they end up being the dictator. Because a stupid husband doesn't do his job. stupid husband, all he, you know, he thinks he gets married because he thinks he has a built-in food and sex factory, and then he loses his power. He loses his power. In other words, another way of putting that, he turns the wife, he turns the woman into a dictator. Whether she likes it or not, she's the dictator. Then you have political dictators, and you have corporate dictators. You have dictators coming out of our ears. Strong before the weak, weak before the strong. Dictators all. Bullies all. Make people into bullies even if they don't want to be. But they, you know, all who sin are slaves. Too bad. If you won't look at yourself, you're doomed to repeat the same mistakes over and over. And so we enter into a bottomless pit of tyranny. And it really is a bottomless pit. And the tyrannies, if you want to use the word improve, new and improved tyrannies are always just around the corner. Made possible by ever-increasing knowledge. Knowledge is the one thing that gets better. Human nature, you know, in human nature, kind of remains the same. It kind of goes, you know, it goes up and it goes down, kind of like a sine wave. People get better for a while and then they become worse. So, anyway, you know, I got a new phone, I guess now maybe what, a couple of weeks ago? It's been a couple of weeks. Got the new phone, the Note 3, and of course I've been using it to record my videos with, and really an awesome, awesome phone. I'm really pleased with it. So, in the meantime, I told my parents about it, told my mom about it, and they were, you know, kind of, you know, the phone that they had was one of those, you know, it was kind of an industrial sort of flip phone, not really the easiest thing in the world to use, and that it was kind of getting along in the tooth, and so they were ready for a new phone, and of course, they've been using tablets now for about a year and a half, I'd say. And so they decided, you know, time to get a new phone. So they, she called me the other day. They were on their way to a Sprint store. Actually, I guess it was yesterday. They were on their way to the Sprint store. And so she called me and, what was the name of your phone again? Okay, it was a Samsung Galaxy Note 3. Okay, so she remembered that. So she called me after they got in the store. She called me and she said, "No, they got this Note 3 and then they've got this Galaxy Mega, and I think, see, the Mega is actually cheaper because it's lesser hardware, even though it's got a somewhat larger screen." And so, you know, I said, "Well, the Note 3 really is a better phone." And so they ended up getting one. And so they got a Note 3. So I told them to make sure that the Sprint guy takes the phone out to your car and pairs it up with your Bluetooth in the car, because the car has built-in Bluetooth, which he did. The fellow's name was Jose, and he did a good job. He got that working, and he also programmed in their Gmail address for them into the, you know, of course you just put your Gmail address and password into Android, And the way Google has it set up is that once you put that in there, it ties all of your, you know, everything Google gets instantly put in the phone, you know, because it's all already in there anyway because it's Android. But once you, you know, that's basically an identity. You know, once you put your Gmail address and your password into the phone, then everything's, of course, is tied to that, and so you got your email, and you got Google Plus, and so on and so forth. Everything that, you know, every service that Google offers. So, in any case, afterwards, they got back home, and she called me, and it was really quite a pleasant surprise. Because, you know, even though we were both on 3G, I think there must, you know, there's this thing called HD audio. And I'm not, you know, from what I read about HD audio, that is something that happens, you know, you have to have an HD audio capable phone, but then you also have to have HD audio capable cell towers. And I don't know that the Sprint's 3G cell towers, I don't know that they're capable of that or not. However, there must be something, if you have, and I'll have to do some research, Galaxy Note 3 to Galaxy Note 3, you get extra good sound. I was quite surprised. And then the other pleasant surprise, with their old phone in their house down there in South Texas, it would often almost break up. Sometimes they would lose the call. And so they would have to go out on the porch in order to get enough signal to make the old phone work. With this new one, it, of course, you get the much improved sound, but the new one just plain has better reception. And I've noticed that with the Note 3 that I have, as I drive around, I'm getting better reception than I did even with the S3. So, they're pretty happy with it. of course, they've been using tablets now for about a year and a half, so they're used to the capacitive touch screens and kind of how things work. And since they have those tablets, they're probably not really going to be using the, as far as web browsing and all of that, they're probably not going to be doing much of that on the phone. They'll probably be using it as a camera and so on and so forth, those kind of things, but not really as a web browser or, you know, maybe to a limited extent they might. So, because they have those tablets and they're using those things constantly, you know, so, in any case, they're pretty happy with that, and they've got a heck of a phone. But the Note 3 is really an impressive piece of hardware. It really is amazing. Now, I've got a friend that has an iPhone 5, and of course, you know, I don't know. Last night I met my youngest brother and his wife and my nephew for supper. We met and had supper. So I just happened to be looking at a few headlines on my phone, and I noticed there was something about iPhone. There was a backlash against the iOS 7.1 update that just came out. Now, a few days ago, whenever that update came out, I tried downloading it on my iPad, and of course that was the day that it came out, and the update failed, you know, because Apple's server was pretty much overwhelmed, and so I just kind of, well, I'm not going to mess with it, I'll do it later, and I forgot about it, and so I didn't update it. So this friend that has the iPhone, and so I was reading the article there last night, and I thought, oh, there's all kinds of problems. People are experiencing drastically reduced battery life, battery drain, and a number of other problems. So today I had lunch with my friend that has an iPhone 5, and as it turns out, he started complaining, and he said, "Well, I got this update from Apple, and it's killing my battery. You know, now he's having to recharge it twice, because it's sucking the battery dry, even if he's not using it." And then there's some other problems that, you know, because always before, whenever anyone would call him on an iPhone, big picture would pop up. And you could glance and you could see who was calling. Well, of course, in this new update, they changed a lot of interface elements around. And one of the things that they changed, instead of the picture popping up, you know, big enough to where you can recognize it, they made it into this little bitty circle, and they put the picture's in a little bitty circle, and unless it, you know, you can't recognize it, because when I met him today, I was testing it. I called him, and, you know, so I could see what it looked like, and, you know, there was this some picture of me that I don't know where the picture came from, but it was me, but it was so small you couldn't even see it. Couldn't even tell who it was. Me looking at myself in that little circle, I wouldn't even recognize myself. So, you know, and I guess they made some other interface changes and what have you, and it was just, I don't know, it's a lot of cosmetic stuff, so he's not happy with that, and so I think he's considering kind of getting rid of his iPhone, because this is his second iPhone. And kind of, you know, maybe going with a Galaxy Note 3. But I don't know. I think it's coming true. I think Apple, you know, because whenever Steve Jobs died, I even wrote an article about it and posted it on geeknewscentral.com. And what I said was that, you know, Steve Jobs was very successful, but he was successful in spite of his character flaws, and he had some pretty good character flaws and some pretty good quirks, but he was successful. He was able to finally be successful in spite of those problems, because the problems almost took him out to begin with. You know, that's, I think, the problems that he had that really kind of led to his initial ouster at Apple. And he was fortunate enough to be brought back in, and then he was able to kind of take the thing over again, and he was able to become successful in spite of what he did, you know, in spite of his flaws. So the tendency is for these, you know, once he died, what I said in that article, and what I think is coming true now, the tendency is that the people that are left, the innovator's gone, there's no more innovation. Steve Jobs is dead. He was the innovator. He was the one that was driving it, and at Apple. And so, he's gone now, and you really haven't seen any innovation come out of Apple, to speak of, since his death. It's been a couple of years now. But what you have seen is sort of increasing dysfunction. And so, what I said was, you know, the innovator's gone, and so there's going to be a tendency on the people on the people left at Apple, the Apple corporate, so-called corporate culture, there's going to be a tendency to sort of embrace his dysfunction as if it were his quirks, his personality quirks, his dysfunctional side, embrace those dysfunctions as if they were the innovation, and of course they're not. And so what have we seen come out of Apple in the past couple of years? Well, I might have to go back and look at the timeline, but I think, you know, well, maybe they made the iMac a little bit thinner, you know, at least around the edges. But, you know, so that's a cosmetic change. You know, of course, you got little performance improvements here and there. You know, but those happen anyway. You have what they thought was an innovation at the time, the Apple Maps fiasco. And that really was a fiasco. You know, kind of ripping out Google Maps because they're mad at Google and coming up with their own inferior, very inferior mapping system. You know, and that's still not right. So, but in the meantime, I, you know, my iPad, I just use if I need it. That, you know, of course, now there's a very nice Google Maps application that does, you know, basically does everything, except it's not tied into the system. But it does everything I need it to do, and plus it gives turn-by-turn instructions if you want them. And so I just use that, and I've just hid the icon for the stupid Apple Maps, because they're worthless. And so you had that fiasco, and they're trying to repair that as time goes on, and I think most people have just switched back to Google. Since the Google apps have become available, they've just gone back to the Google Maps and forget about the stupid Apple Maps. And then now, you know, you've got this thing where, you know, how many releases have they had lately of the new operating system? How many releases have they had where it wasn't quite right? They didn't really have any, they didn't have everything really right, and then now you're hearing about all kinds of battery drain issues, and it seems like every time there's a new release, because it certainly happened with version 7, whenever they released that, that had battery drain problems, and then the few little updates they had after that kind of fixed those problems. And then now the 7.1 apparently is really caught. I don't know about the iPad. I'm not going to update my iPad, but apparently the 7.1 update just is really causing real hardship for some people that really rely on those on their phones. So. But that's Apple. You know, Apple has a tendency to, you know, and they did it. Steve Jobs. It was a Steve Jobs thing where they would, you know, they'd have things and then they'd just take them away. And so now you're seeing that kind of side being amplified, and the innovation has really stopped. Now people are going to say, "Oh, but the iPhone, they've got this fingerprint reader. Is that a real innovation?" I don't think so. It's just a way of. That's more or less a way of paying. That's just a biometric way of paying. They're trying to figure out how to suck more money out of the, especially the Apple fanboy types. You know, how to get them to buy more iTunes stuff, or how to, you know, make a payment system out of iTunes, so that you buy this and you buy that, and you buy your Starbucks with iTunes, with your iTunes account. You know, or whatever else. So. That's not really an innovation. I'm sorry, but the way I look at it, it's not. What good is that? You know, it's so what? It's neat. You can just put your finger on the thing, and it, and maybe it recognizes it. And a lot of people have trouble getting that to work. You know, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and a lot of people are kind of complaining that it. Doesn't all, some people say it works great, and then there's other people say that it's not so great. So I think that the tendency is going to be for it to just become more and more dysfunctional, and they're going to just, you know, they get you in the corral and they lock the gate behind you, and, you know, what are you going to do? Now the fanboy types, which those people are always around, and they seem to be sort of on the increase again. There are people that no matter what Apple does, they'll defend it. And they'll buy two or three of whatever it is Apple sells. And so those types have been around, and they're not going to go anywhere. Apple is a religion to them, whether they realize it or not. For those kind of people, Apple is a religion. But someone like me, I don't have any loyalty to anything. As far as equipment goes, I have no loyalty. I have no loyalty to Apple, even though I'm recording on this white plastic MacBook that's 6 years old, that I put the SSD drive into. Thing works great. Awesome little machine. And, but even so, I have no loyalty to Apple. if they make the machines, you know, like kind of unusable for me, you know, and I'm talking about the Ubercaster program that I use. If this white plastic MacBook crapped out right now, I would not be buying another one, because a new one would come with Mavericks, and Mavericks, the so-called Mavericks, will not run Ubercaster. It won't run on anything beyond 10.6 without the update, without that final update that moved it to Lion, or got it ready for Lion. So this is Snow Leopard, with, you know, kind of without that last update. And it works fine on that. But anything newer than that, program won't work. And it's not being developed anymore. So it would be kind of stupid. And then besides that, I'm not using a computer much anymore. All I'm using the computer for basically now, this computer, I record podcasts on it. That's pretty much it. Maybe a little bit of, you know, a little bit of web browsing here and there, but that's it. Nothing else. I can record podcasts. The last podcast I recorded on the iPad. I didn't even tell you. You would never know unless I just now told you that was recorded completely on the iPad. So, you know, if push came to shove, I could record everything on the iPad and never, you know, and that would, is at least right now, that still continues to work. And probably will for the foreseeable future. You know, and of course these tablets, all of the tablets, including the Android tablets, are becoming more capable. So I wouldn't need to buy another computer. You know, I've got what do I have at home? I've got a Windows machine at home that is there and probably not going to do anything with it. It, you know, occasionally I might turn it on for this or that, but otherwise it's just there. I've got a little Windows XP netbook. Don't use it very much. I've got it. That's where I have the, you know, like my iPod Classic. That's where I've got the, you know, I've got all of the music on there, and that's what it syncs to. Got my entire CD collection at home on there. So that's kind of primarily what I use that little machine for. Don't have to run it very much. Don't have to do anything else on it. And then I've got two Mac Minis. One of them functions as an HD DVR. And I have Mavericks on it, and it runs fine for that. And then I've got the other one, it's Snow Leopard, and I can use it to record podcasts with if I want to. And it, otherwise it works as a desktop machine. And I've also got that neat desktop scanner plugged into it. And, you know, this afternoon I was, you know, I'd had a bunch of receipts that I'd collected over the past couple of weeks, and so I just took them in there and, you know, plus the mail that I received that I wanted to scan, and just put it through the scanner, and lickety-split, it was done, and there it is. And, you know, so I can just file the stuff away and kind of forget it. And I have a digital copy of it. So I might, you know, if that Mac Mini died, I might buy another Mac Mini. Maybe. But I have no loyalty to companies. You know, the reason I have a Samsung phone, a Note 3, is because, quite frankly, is because it's a very nice piece of hardware. The S3 was a pretty nice piece of hardware. But before that, I had an HTC Evo. And before that, what did I have? It was an HTC something else. I had three HTC phones, actually. two of them were running an earlier version of Windows Mobile, and then that last one was an Android. It was an HTC Evo. And then I switched to Samsung because Samsung had better, you know, it offered better hardware. And the reason I still have this, you know, I went from the S3 to the Note 3, Samsung S3 to the Samsung Note 3, because the Note 3 is a quantum leap, you know, from a hardware standpoint. It's a whole magnitude ahead of even the S3. So I have no loyalty, and I think that a lot of people, you know, you always had the Apple fanboys, and then you had, you know, Apple was able to, when Steve Jobs came back, he was able to kind of move Apple kind of into the mainstream. And I think he was able to kind of put the wraps, at least, he was able to sort of put the wraps to his, you know, on his own idiosyncrasies. And I think that's one of the reasons why Apple was able to surge forward and become so successful. Of course, he had really great ideas, but had he allowed his idiosyncrasies to keep getting in the way, he would have failed again. And of course, he died. He's been dead for 2 years. Now the innovations are gone. You know, supposedly he left 5 years worth of innovations that Apple, you know, could, you know, move forward with. But so far, it hasn't happened that I can see. And you still have the fanboy types, and you still have the, you know, kind of the Apple hype machine. But you have an increasingly dysfunctional Apple. And I think what's going to happen, and it's not going to happen overnight, and Apple isn't, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they're immediately doomed. They've got $100 billion in the bank. They're going to be around for a long, they would really have to start messing up bad in order to squander that kind of money. They're not going to go away. But what is happening is that they're losing market share. And of course, the Apple fanboy types try to couch it in terms, oh, well, they're selling more iPhones than ever. You know, at the same time that the percentages of the overall market are being conceded to Android. You know, Apple is kind of shrinking as in the overall percentage scheme of things. And that's going to continue to happen because people like me and people like my friend really don't have any brand loyalty. I'm not a fanboy of anything. What I want is the most advanced hardware, and that's kind of what I'm really after, is the most advanced hardware and be able to do more advanced things and I don't really care, you know, whether the thing's pretty or not. Or what, you know, what color the damn icons are. Or whether they're buttons or whether they're just little pieces of text that you have to press. Because so-called flat design is in now. Who gives a damn? So I think it's quite possible that Apple will just kind of go along and they're just going to kind of flounder. So, you know, they're just going to kind of flounder along and become ever more dysfunctional, and you're going to have people that are not the, you know, they were part of the more mainstream. They're probably going to start looking at the advanced hardware that's coming from other companies, especially with tablets and smartphones. They're going to start looking at those other things, and they're going to you know, they have no loyalty. Because Apple is not a religion to them. In the same way that it is to the, you know, these fanboy types that have, you know, and you know, there's, and they make fun of it. You know, they say, oh, well, cult of Mac, you know, and it is, it's a religious cult. It really is a cult. When, you know, and I'm talking about the ones that, you know, the real fanboy types, and they've, as I say, they sort of worshipped Steve Jobs. In a very real sense, they worshipped him. And now those same people are sort of worshipping the kind of the monument that he, you know, this, he, they worship the corporation as if it's the new, you know, kind of you know, the it's sort of like looking at it as if it's a god. And I'm such a good person because I have Apple stuff and it works so well and it looks so good and I'm really a better person. I'm superior. You know, and then you hear them trash, you know, whatever they think the competition is to Apple. They constantly bash it. So, I don't know. But, so I think that, you know, there's getting to some much better stuff out there, and I'm glad, because at one time I thought, you know, maybe my parents would be better off with an iPhone, but they need a bigger screen. They want a bigger screen, and so my mom is really happy with that big screen of the Note 3. You know, and then plus the sound quality, you know, calling from Note 3 to Note 3, at least on Sprand, and I suspect it's probably more to do with the hardware than it is the, you know, because they're somehow recognizing together that they're, you know, that's a Note 3 to a Note 3. There has to be some circuitry there that is making that call experience a lot better, even on a regular cell line. And, it, you know, so it really is a noticeable improvement. It's pretty dramatic. And then plus it gets better reception, so. But they're pretty happy, and I'm happy. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. Hope everyone is having or has had a great weekend. Hope you have a great week coming up. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.